This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at the Triad Stage in Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. 92-year-old artist Fritz Janschke has an obsession. A colleague once told him he should read James Joyce's Ulysses. That was more than 50 years ago. That colleague thought Fritz paints the way Joyce writes. So Fritz read Ulysses, and he fell in love. Since then, Fritz Janschke has devoted many of his art pieces to Joyce's literature. Joyce, of course, known for his surreal stream-of-consciousness style of writing. And Fritz is one of the founding members of a school of art called Fantastic Realism. It has elements of religious and esoteric symbolism, as well as psychoanalysis. It all comes together in an exhibit of Fritz's work on display at the Wetherspoon Art Museum on the campus of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. It's called My Choice, Joyce, and it features paintings and sculptures by Fritz Janschke that borrow from the literature of James Joyce. The exhibit runs through November 20th, and Fritz Janschke is on the program now. Welcome. Great to have you here. Give us an idea of what we're going to see when we go see that exhibit, Fritz.
Pardon me?
Tell us about the paintings. What are we going to see?
Well, listen, I tell you, when I was sitting here looking at the floor, and I thought about Leonardo da Vinci looking at the clouds and seeing images, I saw at least three paintings I'm going to do next week right here in the flatland of the floors. It doesn't need always a text. My inspiration is not completely related to literature. It is partially, and I was very much absorbed with Joyce because the wonderful way of he musically presents words, it is the rhythm of the sound when you read it aloud, and when you hear Joyce himself reading it, you get the feeling that he was not a visual man. He got almost blind when he was starting with Finnegan's Wake. So what you have there is that he puts everything into the construction of the words the way they would sound more than the way they would read.
You are from Vienna. You came to the United States and had to learn English very quickly because you were teaching at Bryn Mawr, is that right?
Yeah.
So English is not your first language, and so then maybe it was just the sound of Joyce that first captured you?
No, I was it was a very difficult situation because I came, I was about 30 years old, and I had no idea about English. The only word I knew was bird, because it would flew, you know. Anyway, then I was in the studio, and I had to teach. I came over as an artist in residence as an exchange. Charles von Ripper went to Vienna. He taught on the academy. I was at Bryn Mawr. And there I had wonderful young women there sort of looking at me, and I didn't know what to say. So finally, after a few weeks, I had a small vocabulary. And by teaching in the studio, I could point out by drawing and saying, this is the way you ought to do it, or this is the way you ought to do it. So it was not so difficult. I wasn't completely relying on the word alone. I had my hand in the thing.
Did your emigration from Vienna change the way you looked at the world? Did it change the way you thought about painting? When you moved here from Vienna, did it change the way you thought about painting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell you, when I came back from the war, I was about 23 years old, and I got wounded, and I got home, and I was in Vienna, and in 43, the bombing was there in Vienna, and it was a tough time. Until 49, even when I left, Vienna was not a real joyful place. We had very little food. We had, it was not difficult for me to leave Vienna, I must say. And I came then to the United States, and I had the feeling that there was plenty of food. I didn't have to stamps or food stamps or anything like that. I could just go to the store and buy for 10 cents at Horn and Hart, and I could get some coffee, and I could get wonderful food. I said, this is the country. That's wonderful. That's what we call in German Schlaraffenland. That is where you everything, the chickens walk fried in the air, and you just grab it and eat it. So I had a wonderful time growing into this atmosphere. And a marvelous thing was that the people were just fascinating. I had friends immediately, and I built up a tremendous amount of friends within the community and the campus in Philadelphia, and I met all kinds of people. One of them was George Rochberg, a composer, who became one of my dearest friends. Unfortunately, he died 8 years ago, but he was alive about 5 days ago when John was playing his music, and they had a baritone singing a song which was composed by George on the text of James Joyce.
Tell us about this style, fantastic realism. It's a style that you're closely associated with. And maybe you can describe one of your paintings as a way of telling us what this style is all about.
You see, I was on the Academy in 43. In 45, we had the four occupation armies and everything. It was a changeover. The Academy changed. I changed my teacher. The teacher said to me, Janczka, I can't teach you anything anymore. Why don't you go to Gütersloh? Gütersloh, who had been by the Nazis called cut, he was out. He came back to the Academy. There I met Fuchshausen, Lemden, and Brauer, and we became a group. We started to paint together. We said, we don't want to paint the way everybody paints here, cubism and all that kind of stuff. We went back to the old masters. We actually tried to paint in a mixed technique with green imprimatura, a drawing in white, and glazing layers of paint. Precise imagery. Beautiful painting style. It was, the surface was really fantastically smooth. We even used razor blades, which were the laughing stock among the other painters because they wanted to have it thick and dripping, and we wanted it smooth and shiny.
Would you describe it as photographic in its realism?
As long as you can photograph the soul.
That's the hard part then, isn't it? The realism and trying to get to the soul. How does that, and that may be the fantastic part, right?
Yeah, that's
so where does that enter into
so
it?
So what happens is, what happens within yourself is you have an idea and you paint it. But as you paint, it grows and it becomes an image which is completely different from what you started out to plan. It grows in itself. It grows out of your inner self. And it was a success right away. I mean, the city of Vienna started to buy. I sold my first paintings, was sold to the city of Vienna. And the city of Vienna didn't have any money. So what I did is I got a poverty stipend. It was cheap money. Do they have that picture? It's called Where Are You Going? And it's still in the museum in Vienna. And it's one of the key paintings for the movement because it asked the question, where are you going?
This is the painting done in the aftermath of the bombing of Vienna, Allied bombing relentlessly. People had not much left. Describe that painting for us. It's a remarkable work.
The painting is, you have people marching in a street, and in the street there is grass, there is no pavement, nothing. There are some studios on the left side, some studios on the right side. Some people flying in the air, holding little placards of their confession of what they are doing. People walking with a piece of thing, like a sculpture. Another one holds a Madonna, the other one this. Everything that's possible. There are about 20 people marching toward you from the background forward, and I'm in the first row. I'm there, and the thing is, when I sent a copy when I was here in this country to Vienna, having myself went to the shower in the sauna and was completely naked and had a picture copy of my Wohingehst du in front of me. And one guy photographed me, and the people were very curious what are those two guys doing in the Anyway, I sent this to Vienna. You have it now almost hanging next to
the This is years later, so the masterpiece has been created with him as a young man, and then you had yourself photographed years later in a sauna holding the very the picture that is on display right next to it. It is. And apparently somebody came in on you while you were taking that picture.
Oh, they had. They wrote me back, and they liked it very much. They enjoyed it. Now, this painting has been a friend of mine in... he is a professor at Notre Dame University. He photographed other images and incorporated them into my painting. So I have at least 24 variations of my own picture. When I sent each one of them to the museum, and I thought they may have just a one-man show. And let's see where I have been going.
This business of trying to blend the realism, the surface painting that you talked about, with these inner images that are part of fantastic realism, how do you make connection? Why is it possible for your inner images, your soul, to connect with mine using those graphic images?
I think it's almost automatic. I have not to strain my mind. I don't have to sit down and think about it. I take a piece of canvas and I start painting. And sometimes I start out with an idea, but as I'm working, I see it moving in its own direction. So whatever I had experienced in my life, in the war and in love and whatever it is, comes right there. My parents, my brother, everything, it comes right back. My brother died in the war in Russia. I was wounded in Russia. And sometimes I have in my painting some of those recollections of the war itself.
And you go back to both the inner vision that you were having, the graphic representations of what you were feeling when you heard your brother die.
With the bombing, sometimes, very often in my picture would show up fire, because we would come out of the bombing and there would be houses burning and all kinds of things happening.
What about the connection, though, to literary representations like Joyce? You said that it's certainly not a literal transposition, but there is a connection for you.
Yeah.
How is that made? What is it? What's the connection between you and Joyce in your paintings?
I think it is, I have a tremendous nightlife. I change the world in my dreams. My wife Porter says in the morning, "What did you do last night?" I said, "Oh, I was in the universe. I was floating around, and I tried to change the time schedule of the Earth. I thought it was a little bit haphazard." And so I come up with those ideas in the morning where I had changed time, history, everything. And whatever is about religion, I have just put it all in one knot. And then I said, "Oh, I throw that away. I don't need it. I'm going to paint anyway." So I can't.
You talked about a painting you did of a poem by a German poet. Describe it. Tell us about the poem first in your painting.
Yeah. Oh, the poems always inspired me. When I was, even as a young student, I would read Li Tai Po, or Li Po, you call him, we called him Li Tai Pei, in translations from Klabund. They were into German, and they were the Chinese poems, absolutely beautiful. They were dreamlike, they were floating, and I would read that, and I would paint the poet in a silvery paint. I thought that's what I want to do, with reeds coming out of him and sort of spreading out all over. And then I go and read, for instance, Morgenstern. Morgenstern was a guy who was... he created characters which are so surrealistic, it's not even funny that he can walk, because it is just amazing how I looked at this thing. It's a nonsensical poem which is called Lalu, 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 La, Quifzi, Quafzi, Semi, Memi, Lalu, 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 La, Jira. It goes on like this. And in the schools of the theatrical education, they would have to be able to render this poem in about at least 7 different moods. Lalu, 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 lalu. Quipsy, quapsy, semi, baby. And all the emotions on just nonsensical syllables.
They have an angry version, right?
It was fantastic the way it worked.
So what was your... And then you did a painting. Tell us about the painting.
I made a drawing of it. I made a drawing which is now in the Fantastic Museum, which opened in January 1st of this year in Vienna. And there are some of my pictures and drawings, and all the first 6 artists are in there. And I made a drawing where I have all the things, the people bundled up, and a ribbon is tied around all the people, and there are figures which are spelling out Lalu, 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 La, and they are all figures. They are people, but characters. Later on, when I read the first time Ulysses, I got the idea of making a Ulysses alphabet. And I remember that I went to Berlin. I was going there to sign some etchings. And I showed him the ideas I had about Ulysses. And he said, do it, do it. So I came back 3 months later with a bundle of my drawings, with excerpts from the text, and he had it translated into German, and it made a portfolio of a limited edition of 60 of a Ulysses alphabet, which is now in a lot of museums and everywhere.
So what would you say then your influence, the influence of fantastic realism, has been on future art movements, both graphic and in literature? Has there been an influence?
I'd say fantastic realism is a thing where, unfortunately, in the new museum I got the catalog, and the catalog is quite beautiful, but there are some elements in there where I find it is a kind of staged surrealism with some people. It's a gesture, and you smell it when you see somebody who is just using a method. A method is not painting. That is not it. Because it comes from within. You cannot have a recipe. And the people, it's like cooking. You open up a book and say, I want to have a dream-like landscape, you know? It doesn't work that way. Either you dream it, like I dreamed once of a spinach sky with a spaceship in there getting stuck, and somebody tried to eat it up so the spaceship could get out again. I mean,
it's wonderful work, Fritz, and it's so good to have you here in Greensboro and your work on display at the Witherspoon. Thank you so much for being on the program. Greensboro artist Fritz Janschke has an exhibition of his work called My Choice Joyce on display at the Weatherspoon Art Museum, UNC Greensboro, and you can see it through November 20th. For more information, visit weatherspoon.uncg.edu. Just ahead, Chef Stephanie Tyson talks about her new cookbook, Well, Shut My Mouth, on the state of things. Here's Molly McGinn. Stay with us.
So you flipped a bird, a cuss was heard, it came flying out, a muffled shout, and now there's nothing but you and that reckless truth in the room. And it scratched your face and trashed the place, behaving like a raven, lunatic tick-tock boom. Perfectly framed by your window pane sits a bird with words, a cuss with wings, and try as you might, you couldn't get that cuss back outside. It was a bird ballet, ricochet, Russian roulette of pirouettes at you. Gone.